unless it's already happening. Oh, Kevin, adding that thumbs up. I don't know how you did that, but that was cool. Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's 2 o'clock in the East, 1 o'clock Central Time. Welcome to the PRSA Southeast District Best Practice Call for May 13th. I hope everyone is doing well this afternoon and is safe and is keeping themselves together in light of all the craziness that's going on in the world. We're going to move pretty fast here. We've got some things to get through. We want to get to our featured presentation, featured speaker discussion. So, Andrea, if you wouldn't mind taking a moment here and telling us which chapters are on the line with us.
Great. All right. I'm going to run through the chapters. And if you are here representing that chapter, if you would speak up, I would appreciate it. So from Alabama, I think I saw we have Kevin on the line. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Great. How about from Charlotte?
Yes, Natasha.
Hi, Natasha. Georgia?
Denise, and Elizabeth, and Caroline. And
wonderful. Thank you all for joining us. How about Lookout?
We're here.
I'm sorry, I'm not looking at the screen. Who is that? Is that Amanda?
Kelly Allen.
Great. Thank you. How about from Memphis?
I'm Sarah.
Who is that?
Kim.
Kim. Oh, of course, Kim. Thank you, Kim. I hope you're here. From Nashville, I think I heard Meredith chime in.
That's right.
All right. Anyone else from Nashville? Great. North Carolina. All right. South Carolina. How about South Georgia? Anyone from the Tar Heel chapter? Tri-Cities?
Yes, Mary Ellen Miller's here.
Hi, Mary Ellen. Volunteer?
Scott Brooks is here, if nobody else is.
Scott, thanks for joining us. And finally, Western North Carolina.
I'm here, Janet Oppenheimer. And there might
Hi, Janet.
Another person or two coming on the call.
Oh, great. Thank you all for joining us.
Colleen is here.
Colleen?
Oh, there's Emily.
Great. All right. Thank you all for joining us today.
Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate it. Glad everybody could be here. And certainly welcome, folks. Want to welcome a special guest. We have Dr. Denise Hill, APR. She is a member of the PRSA National Board of Directors. She's with the Elon School of Communication, and we are happy to have you here for our conversation, Dr. Hill.
Thank you, Brad. Very happy to be here. Hope everyone's doing well.
Thanks for that. Want to put a shout out here. If you're already thinking about 2021 next year, we are opening nominations for the 2021 PRSA Southeast District Board. We'll keep that open until mid-June, at which point we will do some interviews and try to put a slate in front of the chapter presidents by mid-August with a vote on that by mid-September so that the board is in place by the 1st of October ahead of assembly and rally in whatever form they end up taking. Positions include the president-elect, secretary, treasurer, communications. We also have two director at-large positions that will come open. So if you are interested or you know someone in your chapter who may be a good fit, who may be interested in doing something different, doing something more from their leadership development and their volunteerism, we would certainly be happy to have those conversations. You can shoot me an email. You can reach out to any of the board members. Would love to have a great team now, and we certainly want to leave it in good hands for 2021. So I'll put that in the email that goes to all chapter leaders following this meeting. But if you're interested or have an inkling, certainly encourage you to have that conversation, and would love to have a whole host of folks that we can consider for next year's board. I do want to talk about some upcoming chapter events. I just did a quick scour of chapter websites and understanding the constraints that we are under. There's some great programming. Kelly, I want to give a shout out to the Lookout chapter. I sat in on the video conferencing, the video production webinar last week. I thought it was excellent. Nice job there. Some other great programming ahead. Georgia has one on internal communications that is happening this week. May 21st, a hot spot for our chapters. We've got one in North Carolina, the Tri-Cities, the Tar Heel chapter. Nashville just put out a promotion for its late May programming, dealing with the onslaught of crisis. In this case, you had the pandemic, but you also had severe weather, tornado strikes in Tennessee. And so the American Red Cross there is going to provide some insight on how you balance these two enormous crises going on. And then in late May, Charlotte has its virtual connect on employee communications. So I encourage you to check those out. One of the great things about these virtual programs is that they are available to you, whether you live in the chapter or not. And certainly folks have opened those up to wider audiences. So I encourage you to check those out either with live or with the later on-demand replay. But some great programming out there. And as a leadership, yesterday the board met and we've talked about some opportunities to provide some district-wide programming, really nationwide programming based on some topics that we haven't yet seen. So we'll be putting more out about that. Want to get to today's topic, which is engaging members as best you can under these circumstances, and particularly students who are kind of in a no man's land when it comes to engaging with their professors, engaging with fellow students, engaging with professionals, whether that comes in the form of internships, or now that they may have graduated or soon to graduate with potential job opportunities. And to help us lead that discussion is Kim Marks Malone, APR, a board member here from the University of Memphis, and a PRSA National Professional Advisor, Ben Butler, APR. Kim, take it away.
Have to unmute myself, it always helps. So I am not only am I a board member, but I'm a professor at the University of Memphis, and I'm a co-advisor for our PRSSA chapter. And what I really wanted to do was to invite Ben on to talk to us because I heard him speak at conference last year for PRSSA and have been following him very closely. And he is the outgoing PRSSA National Professional Advisor. He's also the PRSA Pittsburgh Immediate Past President, and he's the founder of Top Hat, which is an award-winning brand PR agency. He's a great speaker, and I wanted to have him come on and give us some maybe tips and tricks from his perspective, working with the PRSSA national students on how we can better engage with them as a chapter and kind of bring them along as they become professionals. Ben?
Oh, yeah. I'm pumped. Can you guys hear me all right?
Yes.
I assume from the smiles, the answer is yes. Cool. Awesome. Well, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate the opportunity. So, as mentioned, outgoing PRSSA national professional advisor. So, you know, the flag holder of, you know, professionalism for the student society and really the best practices advisor, but also the gateway to students and what you can do. So, you know, obviously a lot of experience in that, but also from our chapter in Pittsburgh, we've really seen success and had a lot of initiatives that I'm happy to share with you guys and give you some insight into. So, you know, there's two dimensions to this. The first is the PRSA-PRSSA relationship. And then the second one will be the non-PRSA-PRSSA relationship because, you know, as PRSA chapters, we're trying to retain more than PRSSA members who are graduating. Obviously, the retention rate is really a big initiative right now from a national perspective. But there are a lot of students who, A, don't have chapters, or B, are not a part of that. And we can't manage down to that granular level. So we want to cast a wide net. So from the PRSA, PRSSA level, some things you can do right away. And, you know, we're in wild times, as I'm sure you all know, but, you know, all of these can be digitized. So, you know, as I go through some of these, I'll talk about the various layers, but, you know, assuming some in-person component and some virtual component at some point. But the first thing you can do, the easiest thing you can do as a chapter, as a professional, as a whatever, is to make contact with the PRSSA faculty advisor for the school, the chapter, what have you. They are really the gatekeeper. And to put it into perspective, I would say that 65% of chapters don't know their professional advisor or haven't talked to them in a very, very long time. So the professional advisor is usually the weak point on the board. And it's the faculty advisor who is filling in the forms, doing the budgets, getting the school permission, and all of those sorts of things. So you want to make contact with that faculty advisor first and foremost, and really do your best as a PR professional. You know, a component of what we do is nurturing relationships. That's what it's all about, keeping that fresh on the vine and making sure that you're remaining relevant and that your successor and successors are remaining relevant as well and making that intentional effort to keep that relationship going. The second thing, and this is something that is before my time and I can't take credit for, is to build recurring event formats. And it's something that at PRSA Pittsburgh, we do extremely well. We have a natural built volunteer system where anytime we're hosting a really big event like our Renaissance Awards, we have all the chapters commit volunteers, and what it does in, you know, in its place is builds relationships with both our board, but also the face-to-face of the professionals who are walking in and are greeted by a volunteer who has a great conversation or, you know, so forth and so on. So we have these recurring event formulas where every year it's the same need, where we need volunteers. And even if we go purely digital, we're going to need people to do the presentations. We're going to need people to run the presentations. We're going to need help and support in various capacities. So this really permeates through virtual versus not in terms of that. But we also have a recurring event that is dedicated to students and young professionals called PR Summit. And we market it exactly as that. It's not for the medium or the tenured professional. It's very much for the entry level and the student, you know, the soon to be graduate. And so that's an event that, you know, a lot of times as a chapter, what we can do is, you know, alienate students in a lot of ways with our events where we're trying to cast a wide net. And, you know, a lot of times our challenge is, you know, how do we hit the senior pros? How do we hit the mid-senior pros? And sometimes what happens is we miss the really entry-level people, the students. And so by building an event, a recurring event as well, that can get them on the volunteer level where they're able to put forth some effort and get some credential experience out of that, but also something that's geared towards their development, you're going to begin to build relationships that transition into internships, that transition into retention into your chapter and things of that nature. The third thing I would mention, and there's two more here under the PRSA, PRSSA bucket. I'm trying to keep it, you know, nice and tight. So, you know, some quick points here is to dedicate a board position. Traditionally, PRSA Pittsburgh, and traditionally with the chapters that are really nailing it, they have an entire position dedicated to, you know, student outreach and relationships, because I'll tell you what, it is a lot to handle. You know, PRSSA has made it easier with their online database and their online dues process that was just rolled out in the past year, where we now know who the faculty advisor is. We now know who the president is in any given year because that information is required in order to submit the dues. But really, even at that point, communicating and keeping those relationships alive and fielding questions is really worthy of an entire board position. And as professionals and board members and district board members, so forth and so on, we just don't have the time to manage everything in addition to leading our district or our chapters to success. So we need somebody who is only focused on that. And that's something that we've really seen be a game changer. And, you know, this is a recent implementation where we had somebody who had just kind of sat on the position for like 15 years or something. And, you know, we said, hey, we need to freshen it up with some new blood here, and got someone very engaged. She created a newsletter. So fought tooth and nail to find the email addresses of chapter members, and on behalf of our chapter is sending out a newsletter of things like, hey, here's what's going on in our chapter, our district. Here's what, you know, the opportunities are. Here are the internships. Here's some job postings you might find great. Here's some cross-pollination of things that your fellow chapters in the area are doing. And so, you know, that's very virtual. It's something where we're seeing newsletters and digital comms be very important in times like these. But even if and when the world is more, you know, physical again, those are retention and conversion opportunities. And then last but not least is, you know, school visits. And again, this is something that permeates across physical to virtual, where you can set up a school visit virtually just like we're doing right now. But the person who holds our position and has really revolutionized it has made a point to really perpetually reach out to our chapters and say, hey, you know what, I'm here. Even if you just bring me in just to say hello, I'd like to say hello. And it's really getting those relationships going. And what we've seen from a chapter level is schools that we haven't talked to in decades are showing up at our events, are joining the chapter as, you know, young pros now. And so really just beginning to nurture that relationship along is, you know, you got to have multiple ways to do it, but it's been very effective. The two last ones, one is if you're able to, and on a chapter level, it's kind of a carrot on the stick kind of method, but a lot of funds for student initiatives. The one thing that PRSSA chapters don't have is money. And even from a university and school level, it's really hard to get funds available. And it's going to be even harder with, you know, these current events where schools are going to be sued and, you know, funds are going to be really, really tight from declining enrollment, so forth and so on. So it's important to, you know, if you're really trying to take that next step, and if your chapter is in a, you know, a really financially secure, you know, position and you're doing well every year, just skim some off the top every single year and contribute to a fund that is dedicated to students and offer opportunities where they can compete. You know, if it becomes very popular, they can compete and apply for the money for attending events. And, you know, before COVID, it was going to the national and regional or district rather events that occurred. And those are expensive. And again, schools can't cover all of it. So giving them opportunities to, you know, enrich their own careers, because to me, the real difference in PRSSA is the events, just the absolute world-class events, the really life-changing transformational events. But it's, you know, it takes money to get there. So allotting that can, again, begin to build the relationship, but give back, which is a very component of the PRSSA relationship. And then last under this bucket is to be responsive. You know, you have to walk the walk and talk the talk. And if, you know, if you do all these things and if you say, hey, we care about you joining PRSA, whatever your chapter name is. If you have a student reach out to your info@email or reach out to somebody on your board, they had best respond in a timely manner. There's nothing that's going to turn off a student faster, especially a millennial or a Gen Z, than not getting a response. That's going to be something that's going to turn them off from PRSA as a whole unit, but also your local chapter in a very big way. And I've seen it happen, even if it's a misunderstanding, you know, be on the lookout, be responsive, be helpful, be respectful. And even if you don't have anything to offer, be sure to, you know, refer them to somebody who can help. So one last point, and that's the non-PRSA, PRSSA. Obviously, PRSA to PRSSA is a natural synergistic fit. You know, in the lifespan of a young communications professional, you know, my journey to them looks like this. Be in PRSSA, be a leader, do something, join PRSA, eventually get your APR and contribute and give back and never forget where you came from. That's a very general, you know, lucid journey. I'll throw a silver anvil in there too. That's something you should go for at some point as well. But, you know, what about the non-PRSA, PRSSA connection? So how can we be relevant there? So a natural fit for that is, one, super easy. Reach out to whoever the communications department chair is. Offer the chapter as a resource. They're always looking for, you know, guest speakers, lecturers, resume reviewers, so forth and so on. So it's important to open yourself up to the communications department chair, and you can even superset this, as I would say, where you can take, you know, your PRSA, PRSSA connection, and you can, you know, sometimes the comm chair of the department or even the director of PR at the school is disjointed from that, especially depending on size. So you might want to try both of these. But even for one that doesn't have a chapter, that's a great relationship building opportunity. And then suddenly these are students who didn't have PRSSA that are now converting into PRSA. So that's one way. The second, you know, second way under this is to, you know, participate with the Career Development Center. So a lot of, you know, a lot of schools, they have their Career Development Center and their job is to get people jobs. And so if you can offer yourself as a resource to review resumes and portfolios, and also to extend your job posting and the job postings of your professionals and colleagues, you know, it's a great way to get relevant and in front. So those are some quick tips. And I don't know if there's any time for questions, but I certainly have time for questions.
Thanks, Ben. The only thing, this is Kim again, I would jump in and say, if you're not familiar with the champions, the PRSSA champions, I would, on an individual level, it's a great way to support students kind of in the big picture. So you can join, be a champion, you get newsletters, you have an opportunity to interact with students. Right now, the champions are doing small group virtual meetings with students. And then every year at the International Conference for PRSSA, they have the champions host a breakfast where they bring in PR professionals who are champions. And they try to sit as many PR professionals with little groups of students as possible for a big breakfast where it's all about just networking, getting to know the students and being a resource for them. And the other thing I would say is if you are co-located with the university or with a school, PRSA, if you don't know, has a certificate for students. It's kind of the entry-level baby APR. Students who are within 6 months of graduating either side are eligible to sit and take this exam. And it's very, very similar to the APR process as far as you need to study for it. You don't have to put together a portfolio like the APR process, but you study for it and you sit and take an exam. And if your chapter has some folks who are willing, the students always are looking for resources for studying for that exam. So I know if you have an opportunity possibly just to do a workshop or maybe spend a, you know, an afternoon or an evening on a weekend or a weeknight, 2 or 3 hours just going over the KSAs with the students and kind of refreshing them on the things that they have probably learned in school that should be kind of fresh in their head, but sometimes they have trouble putting the concepts into practice. So anytime a professional can sit down and help them understand that as they prepare for their exam is always a really good way to build that relationship too, because they will not forget it, that, you know, PRSA chapter, whichever, helped me out with that process.
Yeah, those are great add-on points for sure. You know, I think, you know, PRSA as a whole and PRSSA as a whole, you know, quite frankly, guys, we have way too many programs, in my opinion. That's the my opinion only, you know, disclaimer. But the champions for PRSSA and that organization and group led by Gary McCormick and a few others, it's a really good one. If you're going to pick one, that's probably the one that I would do is yet another step to cross boundaries from your local chapter to a more national level and to open yourself up to students who, you know, aren't necessarily from your own backyard, but could be from, you know, South America even, and some of those chapters down there. So those are excellent ads.
I have one thing that I want to suggest as well to engage with students. Most universities in their either PR or strategic communication, whatever they call the major, most of them have a course that is usually done in the senior year in which students have to apply everything they've learned in the past 4 years. And they have to develop some sort of PR campaign or strategic communications campaign for a real organization. So instead of, you know, simulating something, which they may have done as first year students or sophomores, when they're seniors, there is usually in which they have to, and they usually work in teams, they have to develop a real campaign. It simulates an agency RFP process. So professors who teach that course, I'm one, and currently teaching it right now, professors who teach that course are always looking for clients or organizations where students can develop campaigns. And it's a win-win for the students because they get a great learning opportunity. It's a win for the organization because you would be getting, depending on how many teams, student teams there are, in my class there are four, you would be getting four communication campaigns for you to use and a number of outstanding ideas for you to use in any way, shape, or form that you see fit. So I've had some clients who have actually implemented some of my students' ideas. So if there are within your own organization or if you're an agency, if you would like to partner with a university and be the client for a campaigns class, that is a great way to engage in students.
Booyah.
Questions from others.
Nailed it.
I have a question. This is Kevin Storr, and I know that Gen Z is definitely the, you know, digital natives and all that, but would they tune in to, say, regular meetings via Zoom? Like, we're all accustomed to this now, and I know they use, say, Canvas or Blackboard or other stuff in school, but if we're having, like, our luncheon meeting for our chapter, that's difficult for a lot of students to get to during a school week. Do you foresee, or do you see that they would be open to attending a meeting virtually, or do they prefer that face-to-face?
Yeah, it's a really interesting situation. I think, you know, in general, students are pretty reluctant to attend board meetings, although they should absolutely be invited to do so. I think actually attending virtually tears down a barrier where they don't have to worry about travel. They don't have to worry about, you know, the way they look and how they feel about themselves and things of that nature. You know, it's a very intimidating situation to walk into a room of 12 professionals. That can really scare you quite a bit. It's a little less intimidating to hop on via Zoom. So I would say it's probably more likely, but I think the invitation should always be open, but I think I would use more approachable, maybe more tactile events in place of that if you're going to do something, where it would be, whether it's a resume review or some, you know, one-on-one type stuff, like how to pitch, how to do research. You know, those are the kind of things that I would do in its place, because you only have a certain amount of attention and currency with students. So I would probably spend it more on stuff like that. But, I think we will see a shift where students are going to be more able to be a fly on the wall in a lot of conversations with this digitization that we're facing right now.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
Other questions?
Hi, this is Scott Eldridge. I'm a professor at Western Carolina University out here in the mountains of Western North Carolina. And this isn't really a question, it's just kind of more kind of a situation. I think we've talked a little bit about how everybody can interact with students, but I'm the advisor for our chapters, our PRSSA chapter at the university. And, you know, one of the things our programs requires is in. And I, in the last couple of weeks, have put out a letter that went to the chapters across North Carolina that said, you know, I've had students that have spent this last year trying to arrange for summer internships that have now been canceled due to the current situation. And there was today in the Chronicle of Higher Education, an article about student internships suffering in this current situation. And I think that communication work lends itself quite a bit to be done online and remotely. And, I sent this play out that said, please, you know, consider taking on a student intern. It's for, like I said, for our program, it's required and most other ones it is as well. And I'll be honest, I also reached out to the national office. I sent something to the communications person of the national office and said, could there be some kind of a plea that goes out to the membership of the various organizations? And I'll be honest, I've gotten kind of, and I understand maybe this is a big ask. I'm just asking for a note to kind of go out to the membership and somebody to kind of address this particular problem, just to say that it's there and be aware of it. And I've gotten kind of, you know, less than stellar results, to be honest. I only had one chapter kind of respond to me outside of my own home chapter here in Western North Carolina. So the home chapter here, we're trying to work on, but like I said, some of the others and from the national office, I haven't really gotten much. So I'm just, again, kind of making the plea to put the message out there to the membership. Remember student interns. It's probably one of the things that they need the most. And in terms of kind of motivating them to be part of PRSA and continue on to PRSA after they graduate, it's the interaction with professionals is so important. And when we have events where we have somebody come and talk, or we go out on kind of an outing and we meet with somebody, you can see their world change. all of a sudden they go from just being students and reading about things and hearing about things in the classroom to having it become very, very real. The light bulbs go off and it changes their lives. Like they suddenly get a much more crystal clear view of the kinds of things they want to do. They get much more excited to go to things like National Assembly and to the international conference and things like that. So anyway, that's just kind of my plea. I want to out there and make folks aware of in this time. I know it's a little crazy and taking on student interns is kind of a lot of work. We in our chapter, we're looking to start kind of a mentoring program and trying to figure out what does it take to actually take on a student intern or to mentor students. And we're going to try and put something for our local membership here in Western North Carolina around that. But I think it's something that nationally needs to be addressed as well.
Yeah, I think that's it's a relevant point. And full disclosure, guys, I have to pop off after this. But just to address that really quick, the national professional advisor in me to offer the commentary is that the communications sphere is getting hit in ways that no one ever thought was possible. And it's kind of a roulette match right now where, you know, our agency is doing quite well, but I know many of my colleagues had to lay off their entire staff. They have no money coming in. And so, it's everybody's losing, I think, where the students, they're not having those internship opportunities, but it's because these companies are literally losing their livelihoods. So, it is a problem that needs addressed in a creative way. And, I'll pass the message up the chain for sure, because I think a plea is a good idea for sure. But, I would maybe put it back on the university and say, guys, the world has changed. There is no business out there. These companies are literally closing and shutting down. Maybe we need to reevaluate our curriculum. And I live in the Wild West of entrepreneurial land and, for-profit business. And I know we can shift, and I know how hard it is for organizations and universities to shift. So I know that's a big ask in return, but I think we all need to be thinking creatively about what the solution is, because there won't be enough internships available right now and probably for the foreseeable future, because the economy and these businesses are effectively destroyed and they have nothing to offer because they have nothing coming in at all. So, it's a lose-lose situation for sure. I just think we all need to be creative, and it's a real thing. It's a scary thing. And hopefully we can all come up with the solution, but I appreciate the ability to speak with you guys. You can grab my information from Kim. She can pass it along if you have further questions and all that good stuff. I wish you the very best in these wild times, and I hope to see you in person someday in the near future and buy you a drink. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you, Ben. We sure appreciate it. I think I wanted to add to that, even though, Scott, it wouldn't be a formal internships. We were talking on a call yesterday, and Mindy, you brought up that one chapter, and these aren't students, these are chapter members, but they're actually volunteering during COVID communications efforts. Am I getting that right, Mindy?
I'm not sure I said that yesterday. We do have some chapters that are doing some volunteer efforts in their communities for some of their nonprofits. Is that what you are talking about, Andrea?
Yes, I thought it was the Hawaii chapter that they were...
The Hawaii chapter, and I don't know if they're still doing this, but early on, back in March and early April, members of the chapter were volunteering to serve in Hawaii's Joint Information Center for the COVID crisis. And we're hearing of other chapters where they're doing some kind of pro bono work in their communities as well. So that's doing something like that might be appropriate for some students. That could be an opportunity for them also.
Right. I think even though, Scott, it's not a formal internship, there are creatively, as we think of this, maybe there are some opportunities right now, especially with COVID communications going on from a state level and even a local government level, for students to volunteer to see some real world communications.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think, one of the things that we do quite quite a bit is we are very focused on being a community engaged university. And so most of our courses throughout the curriculum have some kind of community engagement or component where we'll work with local nonprofits or other businesses. I think that, yes, in terms of trying to get creative, I certainly agree. And I understand that there's lots of businesses out there that are hurting. But I also understand the fact that there's probably more of a need for communication now than ever before. And to have a student kind of working, even if it has to be an unpaid internship at this point, seems like there's a lot of opportunity in things like nonprofit, in things like healthcare, some of those retail organizations that are just now figuring out how to come back online. And as some of the restrictions are being eased, yet they still have to, and they can reopen their business, but they have to kind of figure out, you know, how do I change my operation and how do I let my customers know that? So I'll be honest, I disagree a little bit that there's, I know it's tough out there, but I also think that in terms of being creative, believe me, at the university, we're being very creative across the board with a whole lot of things in terms of how we deliver the curriculum and how we involve our students. I've made pleas to our own marketing and public relations people to take on students as well in this time, because we certainly need it in education and there's more communication than ever that needs to happen. So I think there's actually a lot of opportunity. And the plea is just for folks to at least consider it. Again, I understand the uncertainty of the time, but I also think that it's communication people, and I firmly believe this, and I try to instill this in my students, is we're the ones that make everything happen. Everybody else, you know, I make the joke all the time that certainly our healthcare people save lives, but what we do is help our healthcare people do their job better. So we're just as important.
Good. Very good point. Valid point.
Hey, Scott, this is Kelly Davis. I'm at the University of South Carolina, and I wanted to share something that we're doing in the School of Journalism, because we recognize the same problem that so many of our students were having, internships canceled this summer. And so we gathered our faculty across our sequences, public relations, advertising, journalism, and visual communications, and we have created sort of what we're calling a media hub. So it's a special summer section of our regular internship course that students can participate in from wherever they're located at this time. But our goal is to really create kind of a hands-on experience for them to tell the stories of what's happening in our local community, whether it's COVID-19 related or not. And so we've kind of been working on it for a couple of weeks now and getting ready to launch it this summer. But we've been doing some outreach, certainly to the professional organizations, PRSA and others, as well as our community foundation that manages all of, nonprofits, our statewide nonprofit foundation, and just trying to kind of find, to your point, there are plenty of businesses that could use some support right now from communicators and from particularly from students who need that hands-on experience. And as we know, of course, you can't just do away with the Commission on Public Relations Education requires them to do that internship and supervised work experience, so we can't just, ignore it. But that's one thing we're doing. I'd love to connect with you offline and share a little bit more about what we're doing, if that's helpful. But we're just kind of looking at it as an opportunity to, let our students get some experience while also lifting up the stories of, what's happening in our community and where the needs are.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, the caveat I'll put to all this is that, we're a program that has about 200 majors at any given moment across three different concentrations. And from a public relations perspective, there's two of us. So we have to teach the entire curriculum. We have to advise all the students. We have to arrange for community engagement projects. We're serving on the boards of things like this to be connected to our community. And then we're also helping to try and figure out internships and creatively do all this. So part of this is just my own kind of selfish plea that, what I need, right, in order to be able to deliver to my students what I think they really need, this connection with PRSA is kind of just so valuable. And that's why I kind of put the plea out that we need some help. So
anyone have anything to add to that? Thank you, Scott and Kelly. All right. Good program today. Kim, thanks for setting this up. On the screen here, you'll see Brad has shared a slide about the Assembly Delegate webinar coming up Friday, May 29th at 2:00 Eastern. And the agenda for that. So keep that in mind. And thanks, Scott. He just sent his email around. So thank you. If no one has anything to add, we will wrap up this meeting. Thank you all. Good luck with everything. Keep up the good work.
Jay, Andrew, thanks.
Bye.